Hello, everybody out there. You are listening to The Local Lens, the podcast from the Powell County Health Department and Kentucky Rio, where we go inside our community's experience with the drug epidemic. On our previous week's episode, we got to know a guy named Richard Pienick, who is in long-term recovery himself and now works as a peer support specialist, which we've heard of plenty on this show, but in case you're new here, a peer support specialist is somebody who has been in addiction before and is now in long-term recovery, and their job is basically to be available to help people that are looking for recovery. And Richard is doing that partially in a hospital setting. So in the previous episode, we were getting to know Richard and hearing his story. But in this one, we're going to be looking more directly at the work he does at the hospital. So if you've not heard his background, I definitely recommend you go back into our archives, find us online, however you listen to the podcast, and go find that previous episode. I think it's good to know where he's coming from, and you can really see the purity in what he is trying to do here at the hospital shine through. Well, anyways, let's go on and get into this episode. I'm your host, Nate Brooks, and you are listening to The Local Lens, where it is our people using our voices, telling our stories, because no one sees it like we do.
My name is Richard Pienick. I am Pathways Peer Support, part of the Outreach Services in Ashland, Kentucky. My home base is 22nd Street in Ashland. I work at King's Daughters Hospital. I'm part of the part of the wellness recovery team at King's Daughters Hospital. My the wellness recovery team is a program that the hospital started a couple years ago. We have an inpatient and outpatient. My primary role on that team is in the emergency department, and so I work in the emergency department. Anybody that emergency room. For those of y'all. So my role is anybody that comes into the emergency department that struggles with addiction, some mental health, I talk to them, listen, try to get to know them, link them to services.
You're working now when people get into like the emergency situation,
crisis,
right?
mode.
Absolute crisis mode. You are at people's like, at their crisis. These are turning points that people face. Like, and you're there not doing any medical procedures on anything. You're there talking with people, catching people, right? What do you do at the ED?
So you hit the, you said something right there. I have the time to do that the doctors and the nursing staff doesn't. I can come in and really listen, have a conversation.
Yeah.
I could spend 2 hours with somebody in the room, getting to know them, letting them be heard.
Yeah.
When they're screaming, when their spirit and soul screaming out in pain, I got the time to sit and listen.
Yeah,
and really hear them.
What does that mean for people?
Sometimes it's all they want.
Yeah,
you know, that's the main thing I do is listen and get to know them, let them be heard. I try to, you know, we seed, we water, but to the increase is God, right? Not saving nobody, can't make anybody do it. I'm trying to listen, and then I'm trying to encourage, trying to sometimes give a hug and a kick in the butt at the same time, depending on where somebody's at, you know?
Yeah.
You know, and some people tell me, out, I'm leaving here and getting high.
Yeah.
Don't care. Even a lot of times, even those dudes, when they see that I'm not pressing and I'm not there selling anything, I'm like, I'm one of us, man.
Yeah.
You know, I get more out of the, I've tried the button up collar and stuff like that. And I get more out of walking in there just like I am.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And then I encourage and I really try to turning point, get them believing it's possible. And even if they don't want it now, I try to leave them with some things to think about. Every person I talk to, I try to leave them with one, you know, anytime you speak to somebody, leave them with, what's the point? One thing to leave with.
Yeah.
And my thing is, we do recover, and resurrection is real.
Yeah.
That's what this is.
So you just give them a spark of hope.
Yeah, yeah. Even like, we do recover. Like, this is real, bro. Like, I didn't think it was real.
Yeah.
I've been to the well.
Man,
when you're ready, come get you some, man.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, yeah, you know. How do people respond to this?
I don't know.
All over the place, I'm sure,
all,
right?
All over the place, you know? I get good feedbacks. You know, it seems like the people I work with and stuff, and I'm sure not everybody digs it or likes it and wants to receive it. But I feel like I resonate well with people. You can't. So how do I answer that? So I'm real knows real.
Yeah.
And there's a difference between talking at, talking with.
Yeah.
You know, in intercession, I advocate, right? Mm-hmm. So intercession is me interceding between you and someone else and speaking on your behalf.
Yeah.
Advocating is coming beside you, man, and walking with you.
Yeah.
I take you upon myself, right?
Okay.
And so that's what I'm not sitting across from someone in one of those rooms. I'm sitting beside them.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? And I can go talk to the doctors. I can go talk. I work with the social worker and the intake team. I built a rapport with the doctors.
Yeah.
And so I can really, that person, and I think my genuineness comes across with them. You know, you can't fake that, you know? Yeah. Like, I really love you. I really care about you. If you don't want this now, hey, man, here's my card.
Yeah.
Call me down the road, man. When you do, I can put you into contact with some people.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And because recovery, something we're gonna talk about, recovery, and this is for anybody that is the family and the first responders and those people, because first responders, man, when you're in crisis mode, they see a lot of the repeat offenders.
Yeah.
The communities can get really disheartened.
Yes.
And it is not just about removing the drugs and alcohol. It is about treating the whole person.
Yes.
And it is about helping that, getting them through that beginning where that first month or so where they're just getting their legs underneath of them.
Yeah.
And then growing them and teaching them and helping them discover some things and work through some things. And then building a support system. And they need that. I had support all in my path along the way. Sometimes it was one person, but I had that one person walking with me and pulling for me. Mm-hmm. And I have rebuilt my life with the help of other people.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't be here today if I was left to do this on my own. If it was as simple as me stopping doing drugs and getting my life together, I wouldn't be here today. Yeah. I had people around me helping me and encouraging me and holding me accountable and you know, helping me find a job. And my first job was washing dishes, part-time, you know, and my 12-step fellowship and then saving money in the car and slowly building my life piece by piece and trusting in the process. And then, you know, you get to a tipping point, another turning point where inside you're feeling wonderful. And you've rebuilding this life and you can start to see how in school and jobs and whatever, and you start to see possibilities open up.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, it becomes like, I don't know where this is going, but I don't want to lose this. I'm not going to risk it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not even going to risk it, you know? So I really wanted to drive that home today when I was talking to, because I got statistics, we could talk about that part. But when you provide the wraparound, and treat the whole person's life.
Yeah.
And then it is an investment, and it does take a team.
It is. Yeah.
It takes a team. But the statistics show the success goes through the roof.
Yeah.
You know, of not going back to jail. You know, as they get their life back, the chances of them relapsing, using, putting themselves in a high-risk situation, going to jail, all that decreases steadily.
Just to go into it briefly, these numbers are showing a lot of improvement for the people that are using this pathways approach. And those are improvements on the basis of substance use, the frequency of use, and mental health studies. And that's looking at self-reported depression levels and anxiety levels and how much stress is getting to you. And then you're also seeing improvements in economic indicators like employment and having a home and even just paying your bills. And we're going to be calling this approach today the wraparound, which is basically just trying to cover as many bases as you possibly can to fully take care of a person and to fully address someone's well-being.
Even now, almost 4 years sober, they're investing in me.
Mm-hmm.
Investing in my self-care, investing in me in ways, the very same ways I'm talking about investing in somebody that's 30 days or 6 months over, they still continue to invest in me. Yeah. These are the things that we see the long-term benefits of the wraparound.
Yeah.
Going to a hospital setting, and they're seeing the same people coming back over and over and over.
Yeah.
And so burnout's a real thing. And when you're only seeing the worst side and you're seeing the frequent flyers coming back, repeat, mm-hmm. you can begin to think, that's not working.
Yeah.
It's not working. And so education is a big thing we do, educating people like, hey, like I was one of those. We do recover. It is a long process. You know, this
takes a long time.
This person may come back in 5 more times. But if we continue to show them love and hold them accountable and try to meet, you know, they can get this and they will get this. One of the things I've been able to do at the hospital is talk about the fact that I was that person.
Yeah.
Overdosed. I was that person. Needle broke off. Yeah. I was that person, had everything, lost everything. You know, I was that person that people could have given up on me even once I started trying to get sober multiple times. I still caught 3 more felonies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I mean, you know, I spent 20 in and out, 29 months inpatient, almost 30 months inpatient in and out.
Wow.
Yeah.
And, wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot of time.
Yeah. Yeah. Whoa. And, you know, I would do, because it was a process.
Yeah.
You know, I was, and it was a process. And my wife has over 3 years. So I got to watch the stuff that I'm talking about, the evidence I have for the things I'm talking about. I've got to see this stuff applied to my life. Resurrection, right? Yeah. Recovery.
Yeah.
And I got to watch my wife on her own, independent of me.
Yeah.
Resurrection, recovery.
Yeah.
And then I got to see us follow the suggestions, wait, and then get brought back after she had over a year. I had a year and a half. Yeah. And we took those things that we learned individually and applied it to our marriage and watched our marriage recover. Resurrection. Oh. Just celebrated 14 years. Yeah. And so these,
that is,
you know,
great.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
You know, and so you're talking about a 3-part miracle.
Yeah.
I'm a miracle.
Yeah.
She's a miracle. And then we... Yeah. Or a miracle. But it's a process, and everybody wants to get the wagon before the horse and try to run when they should be walking and not take the suggestions and put the work in. I did the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
She did the same thing. That's why in 2015 when I started, it was still 2019 before I got my first apartment.
It's a very long process, and that's why it's important to have somebody who knows the importance of working through that process on your staff.
Man, you know, so every person is different. I listen and really listen to where someone's at, and mm-hmm. and I let the spirit speak. I don't make it about me. I'm not trying to save anybody, rescue anybody. I don't. I'm just a plan. I'm just a person that God is allowing to put that person in my path for a moment, and I'm just trying to help them. And so I can't. Yeah. There's no.
Okay.
You know, I try to leave every person with the thought that we do recover.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, we do recover.
Yeah.
The peace, the contentment, the resurrection is real. Like, it's for you when you're ready. And no matter what, even if they don't want it, I love you. And you know, you're loved, you know?
Yeah.
And then link them. And so with the hospital, back to the hospital.
It almost seems like you're just a human brochure. They're just being like, hey, we do this. This is available for you. Is that accurate at all?
Yeah, exactly accurate.
Okay.
You know,
right.
You can't make somebody take this.
Yeah.
They have to want it. And so, yeah, I just present options.
Okay.
You know, that's why a lot of what I do is listen and encourage and then present options. And now if somebody wants to take me up on an option,
yeah.
Well, you got me. I'm all the way in. I'm all the way in with them. Yeah. Like, you know, I got a couple hour window and I'm like, if you want something, I'm all the way in.
And what makes this so incredible is that this is being offered now at the hospital, right beside all of the other services that hospitals do.
I've been there over a year now, and the hospital, the staff in the emergency department, the doctors have really became to appreciate what we bring to the to their team, you know, and they have told me how thankful they are, how much they like having us there, having me there, the peer support there, how we're able to sit and talk to the patient.
All right, so now that we get a little bit of what he does there, let's look at just how the whole hospital functions together as a web of connected services in a way.
In a hospital, you will have a couple of days to talk to somebody mm-hmm. and kind of get to know them and build that relationship, and you have time to get them referrals in place. In the ED, it's different.
Yeah.
You know, in the ED, you may only have an emergency department. You may
only yeah.
You may only have, I may only have an hour. I tell you, who I have the least time with is overdoses. They're the ones you have to almost run there, because when that Narcan kicks in and they wake up, they're out. Yeah. They will out the door.
Yeah.
And so I have to really be on point with them. But there will be patients I see that are strictly coming there for substance use, mm-hmm. overdose. But a lot of times, whether they started that way or not, I myself, by the time I got charged, started getting sober. I had some real mental health issues. Mm-hmm. And then the physical ailments, your body's falling apart and responding to the drug abuse. And so you never know what the presenting problem is. It could be something wrong with their stomach, or they're feeling bad, or an anxiety or mental health issue. And then so they're depending on what the person's needs are, what's being addressed, medical trumps psych, psych trumps substance use. And so we kind of go through there and get them help. And then you get to me. I have the time to sit in the room with them regardless of the situation and get to know them and offer them encouragement and let them know what opportunities are there for them.
Okay.
And, you know, they may be in their 60s and a lifetime drinker, retired, you know, and then they may be 18-year-old IV user overdosing. Mm-hmm. They may be a successful businessman who's been closet drinking for years. They may be a law enforcement officer who's struggling a little bit and called a timeout and come in there, you know, going to church on every Sunday and a great family. It could be we see a wide array of things mm-hmm. and stuff. And so, I link them to services, and depending on what their needs are and stuff, not just substance use services, you know, the inpatient to the outpatient to the MAT, but there's housing needs. A lot of the people I deal with are homeless. And so I work with a couple partners, and if they need housing and stuff, we can get them started down that road. Employment's another issue. So I got some resources for employment in the area. And a lot of times it's multiple things, you know, if we can get them started. Depending on what their substance use is and what drugs they're using, there are things the hospital will treat, and there's things that we have to find rehabilitation centers, substance use, you know, for detox and stuff like that. You know, hospitals are medical treatment centers. So they will detox for benzos and alcohol and things that are life-threatening. But due to insurance purposes and stuff, you can't really go to a hospital and get detox for heroin or methamphetamine. And so, and then is an overdose an attempted suicide? There's that whole conversation.
Yeah.
And you know, you attempt suicide, and automatically 3 days, you know, you're going to the hospital, you're going, you know, and but overdose. And so there's a lot of conversations that are being had right now. And then with the methamphetamine psychosis, we're back to some insurance issues, you know, and we get into conversations where people have a right to make bad decisions and all of that. But yet with someone a danger to themselves or someone else, and where these lines are really gray and stuff. And so but. I'm not going to be getting off topic here.
Oh, that is... No, I mean, honestly, that's super interesting stuff, though. Like where the medical field, at least in Kentucky, has to go.
Yeah. And some of these go up as far as they have to be. Insurance policy changes. There might even need to be things that need done in the state legislature, in my opinion. I'm not reversed in all that. I just see that there's gaps.
Yeah.
And we are, as a team, and there's some great teams with the behavioral health and the medical side, there's these conversations being had of how do we fill these gaps. We have an epidemic.
Yep.
We have this upcoming epidemic with all the youth and the adolescents that are coming up. Those kids that don't get to discover they're alcoholics because they're getting on meth and heroin in high school. Where do you detox an adolescent in the state of Kentucky?
Yeah.
Because right now, been hearing a lot of conversations in just different areas that I'm going into about the rise of adolescents.
And that is my incredible coworker, Leandra Knox, who sits in on all of the interviews.
It's coming. There's an epidemic coming. Yes. And I have tried to place adolescents, and you cannot, no facility right now in the state of Kentucky will detox an adolescent.
And that is at least as of June of 2022. And if you know of any that we have missed, then please reach out and let us know. But also, there is only so much that you can do if you're a hospital. If somebody doesn't want the help or the treatment, what does that look like?
And maybe the person has no desire to stop and does not want to do anything and does not care and can't believe they got brought to the hospital. They're sobering up. They were found intoxicated, brought there, and they're like, I'm waiting to leave. I'm out. And I give them some information about some local community resources. You know, so that they, you know, and the more contact an individual who feels hopeless has with people reminding them they're loved and there's help available, the odds go up that somewhere along that line, they'll accept help.
And that is very similar to like the Strange Exchange program's approach to things, right? Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, and there's a lot of trust in God in this process because if you ever heard somebody say something, then heard a song on the radio and heard somebody else say something. Mm-hmm. Well, that's, I hear a lot happens in people's lives when they're down and out like that. You say something and it happened to me and I hear it happen to them. They might hear certain words or certain phrases or encouragement, and then for a week or two, they're hearing from all these different places and they're like, that's not coincidence.
Yeah.
And then it gets them thinking. Or you say something to somebody and they're going through something 2 or 3 weeks, a month later, 2 months later, and what you said to them pops in their head.
Yeah.
Or they pull that card out, you know, and so.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And we should be encouraged because it looks like this approach is pretty effective. And I hope, at least, that this becomes a pretty common practice for hospitals around the state.
They really appreciated what we brought to the table. And as we have, over the last year that I've been there, the emergency department, the social work team, the behavioral health team, so now they're wanting emergency department peer support 24/7. We're working in that direction. Right now it's bringing in another peer. They're wanting a peer support for the behavioral health unit because we share that now. We've recently brought in a female peer for the mother-baby unit to work with the mother babies that are coming here for OBGYN and stuff like that. And so it's ever expanding. And they really appreciate it. We've really been integrated into a part of their team, and they appreciate the experience we bring, not only being able to relate to those struggling with addiction or mental health, but also with the experience we bring about recovery and what it takes. And then, and because we're plugged in, the resources we have, you know, like Leandra was talking about with the adolescents, right? I've spent entire days calling every place in the state of Kentucky that I could get a number to and getting put in contact with other people, just trying to get resources.
So if you want somebody like that helping you or somebody that you know, then listen closely here for some phone numbers.
Anybody out there struggling or has a family member struggling? 606 324-1141.
All right, one more time for us so we can...
606-324-1141 and 1-800-562-8909. Now, that 1-800 number is a crisis line. So you can be in crisis and you can call somebody 24/7. You will get someone to answer that phone. A peer will answer that phone that can listen to you, relate, and understand, and hook you up with services. If you're a family member or a loved one that calls that, whoever answers that phone can guide you to the services you're looking for or need, whether it be outpatient, inpatient, whatever. So
yeah, they're there for you.
I'm at Ashland's King's Daughters Hospital Emergency Department Monday through Friday.
Come daytime. See you, right?
Come see me if you need, if you need me.
Well, hopefully you don't have to go find him at the emergency department. And really, you can just reach him by phone much easier, quicker, and much cheaper. So just stick to the phone call. Well, that's all that we have for you all today. Thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of The Local Lens. I would like to give a huge thank you to Richard Pienick for being such a big help with doing this episode and for being such a joy to work with as well. I really do think that this group is paving some good paths. Get it? Because it's pathways. But I think they're doing a lot of good work, and they're showing the example to the rest of the state and even the country, if anyone else is paying attention here. It seems to be a very worthwhile approach. This wraparound treatment approach is similar to other things that we've heard of on this show, like what Scott Seitz talks about as a holistic approach. And really, this is all just about helping people get better. Not necessarily from any one super specific thing, but just helping people to heal in general. Helping people have that whole life, everything, all of it. Now that takes a lot of attention and quite a bit of money too, and a lot of care, a lot of attention to detail. So it's not an easy fix by any means. But it's starting to become kind of apparent that if you give enough care to people and you help people get what they really need and not just the quickest thing you can offer them, then you might really help somebody get back up on their feet. Well, that's all that I've got for you now. Let's go on and close this episode out. Thank you again to Richard Pienick for coming on the show. I would also like to thank WSKV for broadcasting the show, and also the Health Department in Kentucky Rio for sponsoring it and letting it be a thing still. And we also really appreciate all of you listeners. Thank you for sticking with us, and reach out online, find us, and let us know what you think of the show, and be sure you're telling your friends about the show as well. Thank you all. Have a good day. This is The Local Lens. These are our people using our voices, telling our stories, because no one sees it like we do.